In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At our wedding over 35 years ago, my wife chose a song to be sung by the music group of her old college. The song was called The Song of Ruth. The refrain after each verse was the words of Ruth to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Wherever you must go, I'll be always at your side. Wherever you live, you'll find me there, for your God is mine. I think the author of the lyrics and the composer of the tune was thinking it'd be nice for weddings and it'd be about the couple. But of course, the irony is not lost on me, because it's obviously Ruth's words, not to a husband, to a mother-in-law. And I smiled because I have to say, Alison's mother-in-law was the epitome of all those mother-in-law jokes that stand-up comics like. There is a time, we were taking photographs at our wedding, and I'm sure at one moment, my mother was pushing Alison out the way, so she was more central in the photograph. And she was very suspicious of welcoming my wife into the family. She saw me as her blue-eyed boy. She told Alison he's got blue eyes. Actually, my eyes are green, which kind of explains everything. But Alison didn't give up. And to my horror, by the end of my mother's life, the two of them seemed to have a secret bond, and they were the force to be reckoned with. In the Hobart lecture last Wednesday, Padre Gotuama opened our eyes to the book of Ruth and how it is a book so relevant to the world we are currently living in, a world of border crossings and arguments over immigration. Who belongs? Who can stay? Who can be trusted? I have to say that he opened my eyes to a deeper way of reading the book of Ruth. I was struck by something that Padraig said. There are questions about loyalties of citizenship. The book of Ruth proposes that action, not blood, are indicators of loyalty, actions not only of kindness, but also of deep knowledge, intellectual and legal challenge. Actions, not blood, are indicators of loyalty. That takes me back to my mum, Alison's mother-in-law. I remember when my dad was dying of a really horrible cancer, and how my wife cared for him practically alongside my mum through some very difficult and sometimes embarrassing moments. She kind of put into practice the refrain from the song from our wedding all those years before: wherever you must go, I'll always be at your side. Wherever you live, you'll find me there, for your God is mine. Actions, not blood, are indicators of loyalty. So intellectual and legal challenge neatly takes us to today's gospel reading. The judge in today's gospel parable was unjust. According to the Torah, he should have been impartial, attuned to the commandments of God, not open to bribery or corruption by powerful people. In particular, the judge was to protect the rights of the weakest in society, the poor and the marginalized, and that included the alien and the refugee, as well as Jewish widows and orphans. But Jesus describes a judge who was unfaithful to that tradition and had a disconnect with the very people he was called to protect. There was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. enter the widow. Widows, as I have already suggested, were some of the weakest and poorest in society. In fact, they were often considered to be the most in need. The Torah places them alongside the orphans as needing help because, quite literally, in a patriarchal society, they'd lost everything. Think of the pitiful story of the widow of Nain. She was grieving, with a large crowd accompanying her to the cemetery. Luke tells us very simply, he was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. Period. Luke has no need to say any more. He said it all. Her only son is dead, and she was a widow. The Torah placed strict instructions on those who had power and authority, and those who were chosen to sit as judges over the people in their affairs. We read in the book of Deuteronomy, you shall appoint judges. You must not distort justice. You must not show partiality, and you must not accept bribes, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. Justice, and only justice, shall you pursue. I found it very significant that Padre Gotuama suggested that it was Ruth the Moabite who acted like one of the ancient judges in her story. How poignant it is that it is a widow, it is an immigrant, and one who had to navigate a border crossing who becomes the grandmother of King David. One might think that the parable of Jesus is all about the contrast between power and poverty, between injustice and people's rights. But Luke tells us that the parable is not so much about the exercise or abuse of power as persistence in prayer. Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. And that's the bit to think about. He told the parable so they should not lose heart. And why the widow? Why does Jesus put the widow in this parable? Why not someone experienced in prayer, such as a priest or a Levite or a scribe or a Pharisee? In choosing the widow, Jesus turned the concept of power and status on its head, for the widow asserts herself. The one who ultimately claims the power denied to her by the unjust judge is the one who in society has nothing. But she knows her rights under the law. She may have no status, but she asserts herself so that the unjust judge in the end, although reluctantly, affords her respect and dignity. Actions, not blood, are indicators of loyalty. Imagine if Winston Churchill had admitted defeat and found a way to appease Hitler when Britain became isolated at the beginning of the Second World War because Nazi Germany was far more powerful and winning the war. Imagine if Martin Luther King Jr. had given up the cause of racial justice and equality because those in power had no respect for him as a man of color. Imagine if Rosa Parks had not given up her seat on the bus, or more importantly, had lost hope during the year-long boycott of Montgomery buses as the challenge to her arrest went through the courts. Imagine if Oscar Romero had avoided preaching against the death squads of El Salvador because of the threats to his own life. Imagine if Nelson Mandela had thrown in the towel as he languished for 28 years in a damp prison cell. Imagine if Harvey Milk had stayed quiet about discriminatory practices in San Francisco because gay, lesbian, and transgendered people shouldn't have a voice. Imagine if Mother Teresa of Calcutta and her sisters had given up washing and feeding the poor unfortunates they found on the streets of Calcutta because most of them died anyway. Actions, not blood, are indicators of loyalty. And in our first lesson, we heard of Jacob striving with God. He did not give up. He held on. He would not let go. Now, let's be honest about it. He was a pretty shady character. If you think about it, he stole his brother's birthright. He had to flee. But his journey was always one of striving, not giving up. And striving is hard. It is costly. At the end of this night of anguish, of the wrestling, Jacob left Peniel limping. Perhaps, though, that helped him come to terms with the mistakes he had made. In the baptismal covenant, my friends, we read, "Will you strive for justice and peace among all people?" Not some people, not my people, but all people. And it goes on to say, and respect the dignity of every human being. Not some human beings, not the human beings that look like me or agree with me, but all human beings. Now that's hard when you really think about it. And it takes me back to the sermon I preached on the Feast of Dedication a few weeks ago, and those words of Bishop Michael Curry: we are called to become the beloved community whose way of life is the way of Jesus and his way of love. Surprise, surprise, the beloved community is not a community of people that are all like-minded and get on. Notice the baptismal covenant does not suggest it will be easy and that we will see success. At the beginning of that question, we are asked if we will strive for justice and peace. And it is hard. And we will make mistakes on the way. But Jesus tells us never to give up and to be persistent. Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Some more words of Padre Gotuama. He said, to lead a place of reconciliation is to think of the stories that have been disregarded, that have been discarded, considered peripheral or ignorable, and to know that people who have lived fragmented lives need to have their edges re-enlivened. Stories of hatred and stories of survival, stories of hope and stories of dreams where dignity is a reality. Reconciling involves making mistakes while trying to do good. Sometimes bad mistakes. Question: will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Answer: I will, with God's help. To which we could add, and Lord, actions, not blood, are indicators of loyalty.